I'm Shanae Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Have you ever been to a volcano? When it was erupting,
you're now listening to Superhoopers.
They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game.
It's pretty. It's so pretty.
We just formed a fucking wall.
That's what you said, man.
Well, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about
Superhoopers.
Welcome to Super Hoopers, inconsequential discussion of the week's NBA news. I'm your host, Matt Hill. With me, Dave Federnet. John, not here. John.
on his 50th vacation of the year.
John famously missed two podcasts because he was on vacation. He took a vacation before that vacation that caused him to miss two podcasts.
Correct.
And now he's on vacation again. So in his stead, we have Javier Pesquera. Where are you?
Well, I'm in Sweden at the moment. Like, I live in Sweden. I've been living here for a while now, but I'm from Spain originally.
We got our draft expert.
Love it. I was in Scandinavia for my honeymoon before the world changed.
That. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it hasn't changed over here. You basically are. I mean, not COVID. Like, COVID is a thing, but it's really not. Like, we live our lives like it doesn't happen. So yeah.
Must be nice. Must be nice.
I mean, I would say things are fairly. Barely back to normal, except you can't see anybody. I don't see anybody. But you know,
yeah. And besides the fact that like thousands of people are dying every day, but you know, right. Besides that, you know, it's pretty normal.
But you know, in this kind of Scandinavia, people don't really see each other anyway, so like it's not that big of a deal.
That's true.
That's Sweden. All right. Yeah. So we're talk the NBA draft. We thought it was a good opportunity to talk the NBA draft. Go over the prospects with you. Last year, I don't know if you remember, last year you came on, John and I were doing it last year, giving our social media scouting. We scouted a bunch of players, giving our takes, and, you know, Super Hoopers stay undefeated. We never did wrong. We did so well. The guy we gave the biggest green light to, Ja Morant, came through for us, had a great rookie season. Mm-hmm. The guy we said was going to be a bust, Darius Garland, looks like a bust. So hopefully we could replicate that. Also, some other guys we like, Jackson Hayes. I don't know if that's good or bad. I think he's still developing. We red flagged Jarrett Culver. Mm-hmm. I think John was hating on Culver. John described Jarrett Culver as having outlier God talk on his social media. So,
John won't like a lot of the players we're covering today. So.
There's a lot of God talk on my players too. Dave, sorry, you.
No, don't say it, dude.
Yeah, we were down. 19, we were down.
Fifth,
on,
youngest,
we were down
on, fifth youngest player in the league, dude. Don't
we
give up.
We were down on RJ Barrett. We were down on RJ Barrett.
Yeah, I was down on him too.
And Javier, you had Brandon Clark number two, and I think looking pretty. That's not looking terrible. So yeah.
You know why? Like, I've been thinking about my board for this year, and I thought like coming to the Hoopers is the best thing to do, because last year combining my takes with your takes, I would have been like golden. I basically had Ja too low, and you guys were spot on that. So like, I hope I can just fix whatever I have not yet done today, and like. Off to the races, basically. Like that's my plan.
Yeah, perfect. your notes on Brandon Clark. You probably don't remember, but you didn't like his tattoos, and you recommended that he finish the sleeve. And I was looking at photos, and it looks like he's starting to finish it. So he's a listener. I think he's a listener. So
love it.
That's cool.
But a big miss for us is we were high on Goga. So Goga Bitadze.
I'm still high on Goga. Like, I think
he didn't get a lot of run. Yeah, he didn't get a lot of run.
And I think that my biggest hit was Tyler Hero, which we didn't really talk about in the podcast that much, because I think, I don't know if Matt took like an old ball from mine or like it was like mixed up, but like I ended up having him third or fourth, I don't remember. And that was like the guy.
That's looking good.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's looking good for sure. So that's the one.
We had him. You brought him up at the end, basically saying like, "Hey, we need to talk about Tyler Hero. I think it's going to be really good." Man, wow, just nothing but hits. I have to say, I mean, the only miss was we love Zion, which we'll see. We'll see if he can stay healthy. But everyone loves Zion. So
yeah.
Still love Zion. Yeah.
Still love Zion. Still love Zion. All right. So the list I'm kind of going off of is the Ringer's mock draft. Like, the mock drafts are all over the place, right?
Javier's like, I don't know.
No, the mock draft. So not O'Connor's big board.
I think the mock drafts are like not trustworthy these days. Like, I think just before the draft, maybe, but like right now, I mean, it's good to know which ones are more or less consensus top 10 or consensus lot of guys, I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. But it doesn't, I don't know if you have any read on this, but it seems like it's all over the place. Like, yeah. It doesn't seem like we know.
I mean, I have some input on some guys. We can talk about it while we make our way through. Like, I know which teams more or less like a couple guys. I mean, some of it is public knowledge now. Like, we've been talking about it for weeks, but we can go through it for sure.
Sources. All right, let's start. I'll start with one of my guys, Anthony Edwards, who compares himself to Dwayne Wade, I guess, just because they have the same college coach.
He was the top of the pack at some point. He's fallen a lot, right? I mean,
everyone thinks he's going to go top three, but I think Hollinger was saying, like, everyone thinks he's going to go top three, but nobody really wants to take him. And,
yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
And I'm putting a big red flag. Big red flag. So, you know, looking at his social media, he does a lot of retweeting praise of himself, but also liking it. He does the like retweet move. Never good. He retweeted the Sacramento Kings. Not a good look. And then just like the tidbits I hear about him as a prospect, where he has like low motor, inconsistent effort, doesn't play defense. All of those are, whenever I hear that about any prospect, they never work out. So to me, this guy gets my, I just think he's going to be a bust. Like, I would never take him. And if I were betting money, he gets my biggest bust right off the bat. Biggest bust. Also, his Instagram is just terrible. His Instagram is really bad. I think emblematic is that his very, very first post is just a black background, and then it says, "Dear God, thank you." So, no thank you for me, for Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, to me, I think like the big deal with him is like, he's the type of guy that I would prefer, like, the range that he's going to get drafted around, like, I would prefer just to trade down or like find another guy. Like, I don't trust his demeanor on the court. Like, I mean, like you said before, like, his motor is completely on and off. The comparisons to Oladipo and Dwayne Wade are just related to Tom Kring, who coached both. And the fact that all of them are like shooting guards that are around 6'4", 6'5", like thick, bulky guys and athletic. But like, Edwards doesn't dominate, and he settles for a lot of like bad jumpers. And like, in general, like, I think like the comparison that I like the most is probably Jason Richardson. A lot of listeners will not remember him, like the guy that mostly played for the Warriors, but then he was in Phoenix in Orlando. Like, he eventually developed into a really good 3-point shooter, and he was an okay starter. But I don't think Edwards is gonna ever be like a star. Like, I think he's lacking like a lot of IQ and in terms of like decision making on the court to be that guy. Like, he probably is okay eventually, but like, I mean, I would compare him to a little bit bigger, stronger J.R. Smith also, like, which is a more recent player. Like, he plays a little bit like that sometimes. Like, he's that type of like knucklehead behavior on the court a little bit when it comes to shooting the ball oftentimes. So I agree with you for the most part, but I still think that because of upside, like, you have to take it at some point. But like, yeah, I mean, I would not want to risk it with him.
Yeah, you see, I see a lot of like a lot of teams in his future. Like, he bounces around, like, one team takes a chance of him. Maybe he could make it work here. It's a little like Ben McLevor, Michael Beasley vibes with him to me.
Well, maybe the Cavs take him, you know, because they know that all their guards are busts, so that maybe they'll just keep stockpiling bad guards.
They just keep taking if he goes to the Cavs, up that bust probability by like 20 percentage points.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna go to Charlotte most likely, like either Charlotte or Golden State. Like, that's my guess. Yeah. Like, I don't, unless some team actually trades up for him, which I don't see. Like, one of those two, I would guess.
Golden State to me, my prediction with Golden State is I think they're a smart team, and so I guess we don't have to get to it now. But I think who they really want is an actual good prospect like Tyrese Haliburton, and I think they're just, it's all smoke screens. They're saying they like Edwards. There was some other guy they were linked to, Obi Toppin or something. They're like, it's all just
and
smoke
Denny,
screens.
And Denny too, I think they mentioned it.
I can tell you for a fact that the owners like Wiseman, like the ownership group, like they've been went in a historically Golden State hasn't had like a big guy that has been good forever. They actually want a big man, they want Wiseman, but I think the coaching staff is more into what you say, like Haliburton or maybe like Toppin or guys that are more ready to play, that are a bit more mature. And I think the decision making, like the front office, there's a division between guys that are pro Edwards. And I'm pretty sure from what I heard that Mike Dunleavy Jr., who is involved in there, is a really big fan of Denny Avdia, the Israeli guy. So yeah. I think they're all over the place. Eventually will be a consensus. But like I don't know if the ownership group will like outmuscle everybody else. I'm not really sure about that.
Dave, you had Wiseman. You want to talk about Wiseman?
I do have Wiseman. So like most of these guys, yeah.
Oh, we should be clear for the listeners.
Yes.
The Super Hooper, the official way of rating these players is we look at their social media. So Dave and I have done deep dives on these players' social media.
Social media. Did not watch film. Don't care. Just, you know, don't care how they play. I mean, we could say like briefly, like what, like Wiseman has injury issues already. And obviously like, the issues with like getting suspended and all that stuff, but I also think that was kind of bullshit.
Nobody cares. Yeah.
But like most of these guys that we're going to cover, very religious, doesn't post much. Clearly, like his Instagram is like from like starting in 2019. Looks like it's cultivated by his agent. It's mostly like workout pictures and shit like that. He's a very big fan of Lil Baby, who I do like, but he's also a big fan of Travis Scott, who I think is garbage. He also tweets at Zach LaVine. He calls him big bro. So that's a big red flag.
That's a massive red flag.
Massive red flag.
Massive.
You don't call Zach LaVine big bro, man.
You can't knock him for the Travis Scott stuff. That's just a generational
thing. That's true.
Thing.
That is generational.
Everybody under like 23 likes Travis Scott. It's just, I don't know what happened, but yeah.
They love Travis. I mean, the guy got his own McDonald's meal, so.
Right.
Yeah, he's very religious, God-fearing. Like most of these guys, Kobe stan. These guys love Kobe.
They do.
He has a Kobe banner as his Twitter banner. The other red flag, he likes all of his own tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Not good. What's that about? Don't do that. We have a mutual friend that I won't name that he actually might still listen to this pod, but he likes his own tweets and it's always bothered me. Always bothered me. Won't mention his name, but don't do that.
All right. Come on. Okay.
No, not good.
We assume you like your own tweets because like you posted them.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I think what it is though, honestly, is like it gets the algorithm jump started. So I think you're supposed to like it because it's supposed to, and the algorithm's like, oh, someone likes this. So.
See, that's what I use the Super Hoopers account for. I just have the Super Hoopers account like exactly my personal tweets. Yeah. Come on. Perfect.
Yeah, I think the thing with Wiseman is about tools more than anything. Like, I'm not a huge fan of his skill set because I don't think it translates into really like production on the court. Like, he tries to do stuff all the time, but he's not good enough to do it. Like, people want to compare him with like these super skilled guys like Chris Bosh or like like all these. Like, some people compare
Garnett.
Him to like Rasheed Wallace, stuff like that. Like, he's not that type of player. Like, to me, he's a rim runner, athletic, really long. He can use his size around the rim on both ends. He runs the floor really hard, really fast. Like, he has really good physical tools. Like, he's massive. Like, he looks like a Greek god, basically, already. Like, he has, like, these Dwight Howard pecs already going at age 19 or whatever it is. Like, he's super young as well. Like, he's one of the youngest guys in the class. So, like, to me, the issue is more about, like, him trying to be a player that he's not. To me, he's a bit better, a bit less of an asshole than Hassan Whiteside. Like, that type of player, I would say. Like, that's more or less my comfort for him on the court. I hope he's a bit better off the court and in the locker room. But like, that's kind of the guy I see. Like, I don't see this skilled guy that is gonna like be a reliable scorer or a guy that will create anything on offense other than people helping him score. So maybe he actually focuses himself 100% on like what he can do, and like he ends up being like a really good defensive stopper, a la Rudy Gobert. Or he has the size for that, but I really don't think he has that type of physicality, aggressiveness, or mentality on the court. So that's kind of the disconnect for me. I have him a bit lower than most people. I will still take him top 10 because eventually, like, the NBA covets him And I think he's going to deliver you value somehow, even if it's by a trade. So, like, I would still take him in the top 10 for some teams, but no way top three for me. Like, I rate him a tad lower for sure.
So the other, like, kind of big guy that people talk about is Okongwu. I don't know. Where do you have him?
I have him a bit lower than Wiseman just because, I mean, I think he's a better player today. But, like, if we're going by upside and plus, like I said before, like, I think some teams really like the tools with Wiseman. I think eventually, even if you want just to trade the pick or the guy, Wiseman will deliver you more value down the road. But Okongwu, to me, I mean, the comparison with Ban is the popular one, and I get it. It's like they are both like 6'9 guys that are really athletic and kind of versatile on defense. But, like, he's not. Like, Bam is like a real, real elite athlete. Like, he's like almost a perimeter guy athletically in terms of talent. Like, Okongwu is a really, like, athletic guy for a big, but I think he's more similar to a Derek Favors type of player. Like, I mean, still good. Like, if Favors didn't get hurt as much, I think he would have been better. And he's still, like, really, like, impressive at times on defense. I like Okongwu. I just don't think he's, like, some teams are not going to want to play him at the five because he might not be big enough for some coaches. He doesn't do all that much on offense, even though, like, he can, like, pass the ball and shoot a little bit from mid-range. I think he's just a tad below on every aspect, but I like him in the lottery, just not super high either. Like, all this conversation about him going third, I think it's a smoke screen about, like, Charlotte wants Wiseman, they want Wiseman to fall, they don't want to trade for him, they are just leaking stuff, so the eventually teams are gonna be okay. They might just not move, and they might just take Okongwu or whatever. So, like, I think it's a stuff like that more than anything.
Look, I hear your nuanced analysis, but yeah. I gotta say, I love his social media. I think he's really performing well on the social media, okay? So there's a lot of stuff about, like, what's going on back in Nigeria, which I like. I like the awareness. His pinned tweet is "put some respect on my name." And this is a tweet from 2 years ago. So it's, like, kind of when nobody knew him. And there's a lot of fun stuff. Like, he gets into it with his friends on Twitter. Like, he posted, "when someone shows you who they are, believe them." And then one of the responses from one of his buddies was, "just like you showed me you couldn't guard me, LOL." And then they went back and forth for a bit, you know? It was like, I like this guy. He's joking around. He cares about what's happening globally.
But one second, what if I told you that he's really good friends with LaMelo Ball and the Ball family, though? Like, is that a good sign?
That's good, man. Yeah. All right? Imagine you're 18 year old. You're 18, all right? And there's the Ball family. There's parties. Yeah. There's a reality show. Of course, you could still have, like, be centered, but you go into the parties, you're enjoying the high life with LaMelo Ball.
He went to Chino Hills. Like, that's why he's, like, used to, like, he's really smart on both ends. And I think it's because, like, that team plays so fast and they were so many possessions that they, like, I think they play more basketball than any other high schooler just because of the pace of the game. So he's, like, a guy that reacts really, really fast to the game, kind of from that, I think.
I love this guy. I think he's gonna do well. And this is a big announcement. I don't know. I mean, listeners, Patreon supporters know it from the chat, but I've announced that I'm gonna get into TikTok. TikTok's gonna be my next thing that I'm gonna be
bad. This guy can't post the podcast on Twitter, but he thinks he needs to start making TikToks.
And I'm all gonna be all about it. You'll see me, you know. So check me out, talking Matt Hill.
I saw you dance at my wedding, dude. Don't do TikTok, man.
That's not what I'm gonna do. I'm not gonna do the dancing. You know, I haven't figured out what my angle is, but I've been getting into it.
Okay.
I've been getting
into it. You're a good video creator. I trust you. I trust you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the respect.
I thought about it. Okay. I'm on board. I'm on board. I'm on board. But, you know what?
And the reason I bring that up is Okongwu also big into making TikToks, so it's another green light. I like it. I like this guy.
I think he's gonna be good. I just don't see the upside being like that high. That's my only issue. I still have him top 10, top 12, whatever. It's more about like, I don't think he's gonna be a star or anything. So like, I will have more issues with, or like even an all-star. Like, I see him more as a good starter, a really good starter, a good guy to have in the playoffs. Also, like, I think he will be versatile enough to stay on the floor. It's more about like the whole other, like, side about him not being like a super upside player, I guess.
But in this draft, because, like, I look at this draft and it's like, I think Anthony Edwards is going to be a bust. Wiseman, I don't know. Like, he's being okay big man, but it seems like you can find big men these days. LaMelo Ball, we haven't got to him, but I also think he's going to be a bust. So,
I like LaMelo. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Oh, all right. All right. We'll get some controversy.
Should we go to LaMelo?
Before we get to LaMelo Ball, I got to tell you about Indeed.com, the number one job site in the world. Indeed gives you full control, payment, flexibility. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time. No long-term contracts. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Back to the show.
This one's real quick. You know who he is? He has no Twitter. He has the dad he has. We know that the family has terrible genes. Terrible, terrible, terrible genes. I do like his game. And Nick's Twitter was so upset that we have the eighth pick because everybody wants him. And, of course, you know, LeVar came out last week and said, like, he would only let him go to Detroit or New York. It's like, okay, good luck with that. And
That's smart, though. Like, those would be good destinations for him. It's too bad. I was rooting for Detroit to get the number one pick, actually, on Lotto Night. Like, I wanted him to go there. But, yeah.
Okay,
I
mean, so
he's trying to force one of those teams to trade up. I mean, the Knicks have the assets. The problem is, like... I think it could be such a disaster if they do that.
Yeah. My summary on him, like, I like him number one by himself. Like, I have him on his own tier, or whatever you want to say. Like, mm-hmm. I will take him number one, but I will not trade up for him. Like, I like him, but I don't. Like, I don't think the Knicks should trade up for the guy. Also, terrible exactly. tattoos. Like, his chest tattoo is so awful. Like,
runs in the family. Runs in the family.
Speaking of terrible tattoos, he follows 96 people on Instagram. D'Lo is one of them. Ooh, not good.
Ooh.
Big old red flag.
My thing with LaMelo Ball, and maybe I'm too biased from because I was an avid fan of the Facebook Live show Ball and the Family, their reality show, uh-huh. and he came off terrible in that show. He just came off as like petulant, unmotivated.
Let's remember he was so young then.
Right.
But
he was a freshman, I think.
They're showing up to like WWE SmackDown with LeVar and all that stuff. Like he looked like such a little brat.
But am I wrong? Like, it seems like he's like Lonzo, but doesn't have the stuff that make Lonzo good. Like, he doesn't play defense, and has a selfish shot selection.
I think he's a very different player than Lonzo. Like, okay. I think Lonzo, like, there's this guy in this draft, Tyrese Haliburton, that is kind of similar to Lonzo, actually. Like, Lonzo is such a stiff player. Like, he can really handle the ball as a point guard. He can really run pick and roll. Like, you could see that in UCLA. Like, you couldn't play him on ball. He's more of a wing player than a real point guard. Like, he needs to play off ball and then help with, like, moving the ball around. Like, he's like a support passing player on the wing to me. Like, that's Haliburton as well. I think LaMelo could actually run an offense very well. Like, of course, there are concerns about, like, efficiency and, like, shooting the ball, but, like, he has improved physically quite a bit. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I think we talked about this before through Twitter. Like, I was living in Lithuania in 2018 when they were there. Like, I was there. I went to the games. I was working in Lithuania for Žalgiris Kaunas. Like, I was there for 3 months or 4 months during the winter and during the whole ball madness. So I saw the exhibition games. Like, I mean, LaMelo, obviously, like, those games were, like, not competitive at all. Like, he was just bullshit. But, like, I think the guy has come a long way since then.
Yeah, that's like me playing Matt in one-on-one. It's right. Just like, come on.
Well, you're not that bad. I've seen videos of you playing Matt one-on-one and John. Like, that was, I mean, you're smooth, man. Like,
yeah,
like,
I got a shot. I have an ugly stroke like all the balls. I have a terrible stroke, but... I'm efficient.
Yeah, talking about the jump shot with LaMelo, like, one thing that I think people don't talk about as much, like, he actually changed his mechanics during the season in Australia, which is very impressive because, like, most guys that age don't even try to do that. And, like, he actually changed to a more of a set shot that was easier, looked better. Like, of course, it cost him during the season. Like, it's not easy to change mid-season and get accustomed and really get used to a new mechanics. But, like, I think the guy tries. I think the guy likes the game. I don't buy all this stuff.
So you're saying Morey should trade with the Warriors, send Ben Simmons to the Warriors, get LaMelo. Smart.
I don't think, honestly, I think LaMelo is going number one unless Minnesota is trading down, which I think is a hard proposition right now. Like, I don't think Minnesota is going to get enough in a trade to actually move that selection, and I think they're going to stay put and select LaMelo and figure it out later.
Even though they have D'Lo, they're taking
it. The summary for it is like, do you think D'Lo is good enough to actually compete in the West if he's like the main perimeter guy? Like, he needs somebody else. Like,
no, we're very down on D'Lo on this podcast.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So like, I mean, I think he's okay, but like, I will not want him as my reference on the perimeter. So like, I think they have to take LaMelo. I think they are going to take LaMelo. Like, knowing who is there in charge, I will be surprised. And honestly, I think he's going to be fine. Like, the whole defense thing, like, yeah, he's not Lonzo on defense, but like, he's smart, and he's like a 6'7" guy that has improved physically. Like, he's not a twig anymore. Like, he has some meat actually to his bones. Like, he's more or less built okay. Like, yeah, there are red flags all over the place, but like, if you're betting on somebody number one, he's kind of the only guy with the talent to maybe justify that proposition, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, you're kind of selling me on him, I guess. I guess I'm coming around a little.
I worry about him personality wise, but there's been all the reporting, and who knows like what it's about, but like that he's been a bad interview and all that shit.
I think
that's a smoke screen, honestly. Yeah. So like,
And also I think he may be doing it on purpose. Like, if he's interviewing with Charlotte and Minnesota and he doesn't want to go there,
I think
he's
going
to be dismissive to them.
Yeah.
It's like knows he's going to go somewhere in the top. And if he wants to go to New Yorker.
I think he might want to go to Chicago also. Like, I think Chicago is a good destination for him on like long term. And one of my favorite trades was Chicago trading up to number two and doing like some sort of change of pieces with the Warriors. But I don't really know if LaMelo is going to be there available anyway. So like, that's kind of the issue. Although Chicago could take we can talk about Avdija now if you guys want to. Like, that's the guy that that's the guy that they like the most, the Israeli.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave. That's Dave's guy.
Yeah, that was my next guy. when I went into the Twitter search to look him up, immediately said Denny Arvidsson Spurs and then Denny Arvidsson bust were the two main searches. I like the guy. He, Javier, you can speak to his tools better than I can, but I like what I've seen. I know he has shooting issues, but I like him. Like, I think if the Knicks would have had a higher pick, like I think they would have drafted him. I think he would have been a very quick superstar in New York. Like, just like Israeli Jewish dude. Like,
box office at least. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
but he can't shoot, right? Isn't that the problem? Is he can't shoot?
I'm not sure if that's true. Like, the issue with him to me is like the free throw shooting. Like, it's been proven like free throw shooting percentage is more or less translatable in terms of like being or not a good shooter. And he's like mid 50s, 60s.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not good, but like, like, to me, it is more about it's more of a psychological thing with him than a real issue with his touch or his stroke. Like, his shooting mechanics are more or less okay. Like, he has improved over the years as well, and his 3-point percentage and all that is good. His volume is good. He shoots off the dribbles, and like, it's not like he doesn't have any versatility either. Like, he actually takes off the dribble jumpers, off ball, like, stuff like that. And he was like super impressive in the Israeli league when he came back after the whole pandemic. So I think the only issue is like, he doesn't play as much in EuroLeague, which is understandable. Like, guys his age outside of like phenoms like Doncic don't really play in EuroLeague at all in general. Mm-hmm. And the issue with him in the shooting, like I say, psychological, like, he is super hard on himself. Like, he's probably, I mean, there will be some weird guy that is like not even rated, that is a gym rat, but like, he's a super hard worker. Like, from everything I heard about him, like, I think he gets down on himself when he misses a free throw, and like, he gets in his head. Like, I think he's too hard on himself sometimes. Like, you see him on the court as well. Like, he's just super intense. He's a really good athlete for just being a white guy. Like, he's a really good athlete in general. He's not super long, but like, he will like protect the rim. Like, he jumps out of nowhere, stuff like that. And he gets super long his dribble as well. Like, you can see him playing like he's around 6'9", and he will like handle almost like a guard. Like, he's just
he's
very talented.
So maybe if he does end up with the Warriors, he's the kind of guy like with Kerr as his coach. Like, he could be coached up and
for sure.
Because I do like a lot of his game. And
also you. You guys put a premium on like social media and stuff like that. I put a premium on handsomeness. I think he's like the most handsome guy almost.
He
like,
is very.
I mean, we talked about this last year. Like very handsome.
That's true. Very, that is very.
It correlates with success. Definitely.
And he's very high on himself. Well, first of all, his Instagram is private. I requested to follow him. He has not approved, which is probably a good sign.
That's a good sign. Yeah.
He saw my post and he was like, no way. So that's probably smart. Yeah.
Also, in terms of the Knicks, like Avdija is not gonna be there probably. I think the Bulls like him a lot, but even if the Bulls don't take him, he's not gonna get past the Cavs. Like they've been in Israel scouting him many times. I don't think he's gonna fall lower than fifth. Like he's gonna go lowest to Cleveland, which I hope not. Like I would prefer him in Chicago or Golden State. Or honestly, he's probably the best fit. I don't like drafting for fit that high, but he's probably the best fit for Minnesota. Like he's just. You will not want to take him number one probably, but like he's a really good fit there. But maybe the Knicks can take Jan Madar, the other Israeli guy, eventually. Like there's another Israeli guy.
That's true. He is circled by a lot of people for as our second pick.
He's very fun. Like he's almost like Israeli Ja Morant, honestly. Like he's not as good, but like that's kind of how he plays. Like he's very, very fun to watch.
Matt's also like a Jordan Farmar fan. He's mad that Denny is getting all this attention. So, you know, because everyone's saying like, oh, he's primed to be the best Israeli player ever. So, and Matt's just pissed
UCLA.
Off.
Wait,
yeah. is Jordan Farmar Israeli?
I thought he was.
Yeah.
Oh, he is?
I mean, I think he played.
I thought you're a Laker fan.
I am a Laker fan, but he went to UCLA. And he's from the Valley.
He played in Israel for a long while after that, and I think he 100% got the passport, I'm pretty sure.
He's claimed. I was a Laker fan and UCLA fan when he was there, but I don't follow the ninth best player for the rest of his career.
But you don't hate USC guys though, because you were pro Congo. Like you are not a real UCLA fan then.
Yeah, I'm not a real fan of anything.
Matt's very phony. Last thing I'll say about Denny is he is definitely very sure of himself because on his Twitter, all of his likes are either 2K posts or people like doing draft analysis of him. And it's not even that he was tagged in it. So he clearly searches for his name and then like retweets and likes posts like doing like analysis of him. So,
All right. Let's talk about the guy I have number one, this guy, to me is the best prospect. Obviously I don't know anything, but I just love Haliburton. Everything I read about Haliburton, I'm like, this guy, why is this guy not the number one pick?
I mean, the name is fantastic.
Oh yeah. First of all, Tyrese Haliburton, also elite handsomeness. If, I know Javier, you know, looks at that.
Fair.
Okay. So here's what we hear about him. High character guy. He's going to be good chemistry. Okay. Love all that. Gym rat. All right, that's great. Apparently, I don't know what's going on with the draft models this year. I couldn't find any advanced stats models. Usually there's somebody who's, you know, running an advanced stats model spitting out a top 10. Kevin Pelton does one, but I didn't pay for Insider to see it. But all I saw, the first paragraph, the only player that rates in the top 10 from previous years is Haliburton. So that the one advanced stats model I could find likes him. His personal style is like that of a skater. Like he basically wears like skater stuff. And on the court, rocks the short shorts. Also, he has a crazy steal rate. So the two things that correlate, or have shown to correlate between college and the pros, is steal rate, which he's off the charts on, and free throw percentage, which he's also pretty good on, like 80-something%. So everything about this says in this draft where you got your top players have big question marks, LaMelo, Anthony Edwards, Wiseman, Haliburton, yeah, he's not going to be a star, but it seems like he's going to be a starter. Like, it seems like there's no way where this guy isn't like a quality contributor. So why not just take that? This is my number one guy, biggest green light.
Well, to me, it's about upside. Like, I'm not going to take a guy like that number one. Like, that's my only issue. Like, I like Haliburton all right, but like you said, like, for me, with the models, what I take out of it is like, he's a really good bet to be an NBA player. Like, he's not a really good bet to be a star. Like, he's a really good bet to be a solid starter, a good rotation player. I think we talked about it before with the comparison to Lonzo. Like, Lonzo also rated super well in the models. And, like, he's a really similar player. Like, I mean, Haliburton, I think I will buy his shot a bit more. Like, he's better off ball. I would think that Lonzo in terms of shooting the ball. I think he's worse on defense just because Lonzo is, like, he had a better frame. He was a stronger naturally in general. Haliburton has become a little bit stronger, but like he's still pretty much a tweak for being like 6'7". Like he's very, very not strong at all. And he doesn't rule anything on ball, really. Like, he's maybe a little bit better than Alonso there, but, like, you will not trust him to run an offense 100%. Like, he's more of a two guard to me on offense and maybe on defense as well, because you will want him more, like, being a smart guy that can, like, sag off players and, like, play team defense, I think. But, like, he's a really good bet for a team that just needs a plug-and-play smart perimeter guy. But, like, if you are taking him top five or, like, even top 10, I would say, like, you might be disappointed if you are expecting an all-star. That's the only caveat, I guess, I will have with him. Like, it's more about that than anything. I don't know about his social media or anything. I know he was in the U19 team last summer, and he was, like, the best player there with some of the stars from the high school recruiting class that is supposed to deliver a really strong draft in 2021 next year. So, like, he was really, really good among his peers already, and that's a good sign. But still, like, I think he's more of a team player than a star type.
Yeah, but my thing, in this draft, I don't see any stars. Like, my thing is, like, yeah, sure, in another draft, yeah, you go for upsides. But and you're saying, well, this guy's definitely going to be an NBA player. I mean, if you told me LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, and Wiseman are not in the NBA in 5 years, I'd be like, yeah, that seems about right. Like all those guys could totally wash out. And, like,
yeah, but
this guy Denny can't shoot. This guy's Denny. He's got the demons in his head. You know, we put him on the biggest stage.
Even with that criteria, I will take Denny at least over them, because I mean, Denny's also not going to be a bust, and I think he might not be a great shooter, but I will buy him being an okay option there. So, like, I will buy him over Haliburton for sure. I get it. I get what you mean. It's just, I don't like that for the top of the draft. Like, I would prefer to take risks over there than, like, actually just take a guy that I know is just going to be okay, I guess. Like, it's just, there are so many okay guys that, like, you can take. Like, I mean, the Mavs traded for Delon Wright, and they ended up paying him, like, $9 million a year, which is almost a bad contract. I think it's borderline there. And Haliburton could just be similar to Delon Wright. He could be a bit better than Delon Wright, but I don't think he's somewhere in between that. Delon Wright, my friend Alonso Ball. Like, he's almost like a lot of European point guards, like, for people that follow the EuroLeague and stuff like that, were these typical 6'6 guys, Greek, Serbian, blah, 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 like, play good defense, play solid defense, can more or less run an offense, but they don't really attack or score. He reminds me a lot of a typical European guard.
Right. But here's the thing. Like, if I'm Minnesota, or I'm Charlotte, or I'm the Cavs, like, just get me a player that's going to be, like, okay. Like, I got enough guys that are going to bust. And, like, if they come to my terrible franchise, if they come to my terrible franchise, it's more likely they're going to bust.
This is a draft, like, where you almost don't want the first or second pick because, you don't want to be forced to have to go
take a swing.
You think is the closest to a home run, which could end up being a bust, as opposed to a guy who's just going to be a really solid rotation player.
If I'm Minnesota, if I'm Golden State, I'm walking up there with pride and saying, give me Haliburton. Like, give me Tyrese, all right? I don't care. Middle fingers to everybody.
Of course,
I would trade it down. And I think Golden State and Minnesota are desperately trying to trade down. Yeah. We don't want to be up there.
I think the highest he could go is 6 to Atlanta, but I think they like Isaac Okoro more than him. I think he could go 4th maybe, but I don't see it. Like, I think I know every team loves him. I think it's a character thing. Like, they love his character, they love his persona, and they like his game because he's versatile. But I think the highest he could go, being, like, realistic, is 6 to Atlanta, and I expect him to go maybe a bit lower than that. I don't know, like, somewhere between 6 and 10. Like, it's just difficult to, like, maybe Detroit probably will like him a little bit. I know they like Killian Hayes as well. But yeah, I would like him in Atlanta, okay, I guess. Like, he should fit nicely next to Trae Young, like, as a two guard. It's more about, like, I don't see him as his own man. Like, if Detroit drafts him with the idea that he's going to be, like, running the show, like, I don't know how that's going to work.
No, you don't draft Haliburton run the show. You just draft him for his good locker room presence, and he's just going to be a solid player. He's just a winning player. You get your stars elsewhere. Do you want to talk? I guess I have Okoro and Vassal left. Dave, you have Killian Hayes left.
I have Killian and Obi Toppin.
All right,
we could talk a little bit about Okoro. You just brought up. I couldn't really get a read on him. It seems like he's a great defender, bad free throw shooter. He retweeted a video about Christian rap music, which I don't know if that's a red flag or a green light. Like, okay, he seems like a clean cut guy. A lot of positive vibes on his social media. He's definitely down with the peaceful protests. Like, he was posting about peaceful protests. So he seems just kind of like a chill dude, but he is a bad free throw shooter, which we said correlates. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess I would take this guy I wouldn't take him ahead of Haliburton or anything like that, but it just seems like a middling prospect to me.
Yeah, to me, the issues are similar to Okongwu and Haliburton, like we talked before. I don't see the star upside. Like, I think he's going to be a really good rotation player in the league, probably a starter as well. The shooting is weird because there are flashes that are okay. Like, he has, like, good balance on his shot. Like, he, I don't know, in general, like, you look him shoot, he doesn't look terrible, but the results are not there. He's definitely not a scorer. Like, he's not a guy that is going to look for his own points or anything. I will, like, his demeanor on the court, like, he's a bit similar both physically and the way he plays to Justice Winslow, but like maybe a little bit faster on a straight line, and he's not as good as a passer. Like Winslow was a really more of a point forward than anything. Hopefully he will get back from his injury issues and be the same player as he was. But like, I think Okoro is going to be really solid, really good, really steady, but like, I don't see the upside, I would say. Like, that's, I know people compare him to like Jimmy Butler and stuff like that. I think it's more of a physical way of comparing guys. Like, I don't see him evolving that way. Also, Jimmy Butler is more of an outlier than anything. Like, he was not that type of player as a prospect either. So to me, it's more of a, yeah, plug and play defensive wing that should be okay passing the ball because he has good vision and good feel, and maybe hitting threes from the corner. Like, I'm probably playing up positions, even though like he's not that long. He's around 6'6", but he's really strong. Like, he's really well built. He plays really hard. He's also a guy that was underranked in high school to me. Like, he was, I think he was ranked in the 40s or something nationally, which is like very weird compared to like him having like top five hype, even like from the start of the NCAA season last year, kind of. So I think that's the main thing I like about him, like underdog mentality and physicality and playing hard, smarts. Just some people comparing also to Marcus Smart, but more of a small forward version of Marcus Smart, I guess, which is, yeah, it could be. I mean, I do like him. He's just like not, like I said before, not a guy I would want to take top three, top five, but after that, like somewhere in the lottery, sure.
Hey, if you want to do one of your guys.
Yeah, Killian Hayes, who I feel like has climbed the...
He's been rising.
The ranks...
A strong handsomeness also.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh,
very
yes.
Handsome. Big... Yeah, like... I mean,
French, too? Isn't he French, or is he just played
French? French, Florida, but also... Yeah. I think he was born in Florida, which is
French Florida cancels it out.
His dad is a former American player that like developed his career over France, and he has a French mother. So he grew up in France, but born in Lakeland.
I mean, so he's kind of like a mix of... Frank Ntilikina and Kevin Knox. It's kind of that little mix of that. hopefully leans more towards the Frank. I mean, he's like a... I mean, he seems to have very like great size for a point guard, right? And like great size and length. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I he's not going to be there at 8, right? Like, there's just like no way, right?
I could be. He could be there. Like, I mean, honestly, like he's all over the place. Like, I think Chicago likes him at 4. I think they like Denny slightly better, but I think they like him. I know Detroit likes him. He's been training with Will Bynum, who is like a former player, a former point guard that also play overseas.
Yeah.
And he has like ties to Detroit. He's been training with Will Bynum there. They have his under like youth level national teammate, Sekou Doumbouya.
He's
in Detroit
the good Bynum.
Andrew
Bynum hangs out in the Starbucks I used to go to before the pandemic.
Right.
Andrew Bynum would come up once a week, triple park over all these spots, walk in, you know, he's probably like 40 pounds overweight, basically be an asshole to everybody at the Starbucks, grab his coffee and go. Yeah. That's what Andrew Bynum's up to these days. You can check him out at the Starbucks at Marina Del Rey next to the airport.
Yeah, I mean, Will Bynum, funnily enough, like he was like in the first NCAA season I followed, like he was in this Georgia Tech team that got to the Final Four and stuff like that. So like, I remember him from that. But I know I like Killian Hayes okay. Like, I used to be more of a skeptical guy on him. It's just like the whole draft is so flat that I ended up raising him just because of the age and the size. The problem with him is more about tools athletically. Like, he's not that quick, not that athletic. Like, he's more of a steady guy. Like, I don't think he will beat guys off the dribble or things like that. He's really smart though. Like, he lacks a bit of a right hand. Like, he's really left dominant, and his shooting is a bit irregular. But I think he will get there. Like, he's really, really strong free throw shooter, and he takes off the dribble threes. Like, I think volume wise, even though the percentage is not awesome, he has like the most off the dribble threes in this class as a guard. So that's really good for a really young guy in a professional
left dominant
league.
Sounds like a perfect Nick, baby. We need another left dominant, guy.
Yeah, he's doing his left hand.
I will say, like, smart Knicks people that I follow seem to have been biggest on him for the people that are realistically like possibly going to be at 8. He seems to be the one, and Vassell are the two that are mentioned the most.
I think the pick of the Knicks, I mean, it could depend a lot because it's the eighth pick, but the four guys that could be there that I can see New York selecting are Killian Hayes, Obi Toppin, Kyra Lewis, and Tyrese Maxey, the other Tyrese in this class. I think those four, the pick is going to come between those four. That's my guess. And from Hayes, like, I mean, it's also very impressive that he played professionally in Germany. Like, he played the second division of the EuroLeague plus the German League, which is, I mean, it's not super strong, but it's mid-tier in Europe. And he was really good. He was like a starting point guard. He's really good on defense as well. Like, he's not Nili Kina, but like, he's good on defense as a strong guy that is smart and like plays passing lanes and stuff like that. Like, he's very solid already at age 18, 19. And I think, honestly, like, professionally, he looks and he plays a bit similar to me to Malcolm Brogdon. Like, I don't think he's going to be much better than that. Some people have him number one and really like him from the beginning, not even like the last month. Some of my draft Twitter like colleagues or whatever you want to say, like, they have him number one from like November last year already. Like, he's been at the top of the draft for a lot of guys from the get-go. But I think he's more of a really good starter than anything, but like, he would be a good selection for the Knicks if he makes it to eight. I think he could go, I have a hard time seeing him pass Detroit just because know they have actually like have him in the area, like with Will Bynum, like I said, but he would be a good choice for sure.
On social media, he really tries to make the nickname Kill happen. And I mean, that's
it's not happening.
Come on, man.
It's not
Nobody's going to call you Kill.
Come his nickname, just, he wants to be just get called Kill? Nah.
Yeah. Come on, dude. You can do better than that.
I'm going to call him Ian Hayes from now on just to get rid of the Kill.
Also,
Ian to me.
His Twitter is just one post, and it's like a graphic of him declaring for the NBA draft.
Okay.
I like that.
Really?
I like that.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Good. I mean,
He's not caught up with the social media. He only tweets the thing that matters. It's like me with Twitter. The only thing that matters is the DMs with Javier. That's it. That's the
only
thing.
He also posts on Instagram a lot, calling his mom the love of his life. So, you know, that's probably high character. That's high character, you know.
Yeah,
with like Instagram models.
I mean, he got a French father, a French mother, and a Florida father. You know, I'm going with the French mother.
I mean, handsome people always figure it out. So, like, you just have to trust on that. Like, it's just happening. Yeah.
When you're lost, look at the mirror. You're right back home.
Mm.
Other the guy you mentioned, Devin Vassell, which is the guy I had. The scouting report on him is he's a good defender and he's like real hustle, which I like. It's like, you know, if there's a loose ball, Devin Vassell is getting it. But I did not like what I saw on social media. First of all, I had to put his name in multiple times because I couldn't figure out how to spell it. So that was took a lot of work to find the correct spelling of Devin Vassell. And in one of those misspellings, I found somebody who went to high school with him say Devin Vassell was an asshole. But he could play basketball, so I was like, "Oh, okay, all right." That's a personality red flag right there from an unknown high school source.
Sure,
who also didn't know how to spell his name correctly because it was one of the misspellings. But I didn't like his Instagram at all. There was too much workout photos. There was too much of like glamour shots, basically, of him and his boys. Like it was like they were like in a boy band or something, like posing on like the top of a building, and there was like lots of those. That's like pretty much all it was.
Was he John?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and he commissioned a documentary about himself already that has already come out.
No.
So red. I'm red flagging.
He already made the last dance.
Yeah, he already made. Yeah.
I think the thing with him is like all the statistical models basically have him like as the same player as Mikal Bridges, the Suns guy. And I think in college he's a bit worse than what Mikal was. He's a bit younger also. He's a sophomore, and Mikal was a junior. But like, honestly, he's following the same thread because I don't know if you have, I mean, you have followed social media, I mean, you have seen the workout video. Like he had like a really sweet jumper, even off the dribble sometimes. And like, he kind of changed his mechanics somehow for some reason. And there's this clip of him shooting this super ugly launcher from like, I don't know, like like well beyond the 3-point line a couple times. And like Bridges had the same issue in his draft. Like he kind of tweaked his mechanics for the worse. And now he's like very on and off as a shooter, and I hope it doesn't happen with Vassell because I think he's an intriguing guy. He's really good as a team defender, like super crisp, like doesn't really fall behind in any rotation, really smart, like plays strong, plays physical. Like, he's not super strong in terms of like, being really built, but like, he's long and he plays with actual physicality with his game. And I think there is some upside there with him in terms of like scoring the ball off the dribble. Like, he hasn't really done it consistently, but he has improved there. I think more than anything, like, he will eventually be a really good, like, 3-and-D guy on any team, basically, and a really solid starter. Like, I bet on him to do that as long as he doesn't, like, again, change his mechanics for the worse, like Mikal Bridges did this this super long offseason. Maybe he was just bored, like, waiting for the draft and he was trying things.
Taking pictures of him and his boys on a building. Yeah, he got
tired. Yeah, fair. But, like, I mean, I do like him. I do think top 10 talk is a bit strong, but in the teens, like, taking, like, between 10 and 20, for sure, whatever, it's fine. But I think, like, for the Knicks, like Dave mentioned before, I will not go that way. Like, I think it's a little bit of, like, a low ceiling guy. Like, he's just, I mean, a really useful player, probably, but more of a, starter than a star.
One prospect left, but before we get to him, football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on every possible chance to win, from game spreads to totals. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. Head to BetOnline today and take full advantage of the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Dave, last guy, I think, Obi Toppin.
Obi
Toppin.
Fantastic
That's
name.
My guy.
Fantastic name. That is such a good name. Obi Toppin.
New Yorker.
Yeah, New York. Yeah, Brooklyn guy. He seems, I don't know, he seems very high character. Boring social media, but hey, he retweets a pastor a lot, this one pastor, who's like one of these like young, like slick, like cool pastors. So I'm like, okay, he's religious, but also like seems cool.
That's worse. That's worse to me.
Is it? I mean, he mostly just posts pictures of, like, you know, the workout stuff, and then like him with his girlfriend, him with his dog, you know, him with his mom. He loves Young Thug, and if I wasn't so washed, I could determine whether that was good or bad. I'm gonna determine it's bad because I'm washed, and I think nobody's better than Outkast. So, you know, I don't know. Like, he, you know, big LeBron and Kobe fan, like most of these guys. Like, just like very, very boring social media presence.
He's 22. That's the knock on him, right?
And he is 22. Well, so is Mikal Bridges. I mean, you know, like, so, like, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, he
Cam Johnson.
I mean, you know,
I think he's been overstated with him. Like, I do think it's a bit of a red flag. Like, you have to consider it just because of upside. But, like, I think in general with him, like, it's more about experience. Like, yeah, he's 22, but he only played 2 years of college basketball. Like, he went to prep school, then he redshirted just to improve his body, and he got really strong. Like, he really working on the gym that year. And I think the guy has upside still. Like, he does have some flashes shooting off the dribble and, like, shooting threes that are weird for a guy that is such an athlete. Like, he's super athletic around the rim. Like, he will have these highlight reels about dunking. Like, he's just insane. Like, between the legs and stuff like that. Like, slam dunk contest type of things. Like, I think the guy is very similar in his game in terms of, like, the role he's supposed to have in the NBA to Amari or, like, even John Collins in the Hawks. Like, I think he's a bit better than Collins in terms of, like, tools to be a star. Like, I think he has more of self-creation chops or, like, ability to pass also. Like, he has better vision. But, like, he could be that type of player, like, a really good big on offense that could struggle on defense. But, like, he could be a guy that in, like, year two, like, could be putting up, like, 20 points per game or stuff like that. So in this draft, like you were saying before, Matt, like, I have him number two just because I think his upside in terms of, like, offensive output is up there with almost everybody but Ball. Like, that's my take on it. Like, I know he will have limitations on defense, but, like, he's, like, a 6'9 guy that is not super, like, he has not, like, a great length, but he's not terrible either. And he's a really good athlete. So, like, how bad can it be on defense? Like, it can be bad, but just in general, like, at least during the regular season, like, defense is more about, like, being in the right spot. And if you are tall and strong, that, like, you are going to be more or less okay. Like, it's not going to be a super big problem for your team. So in general, I think the offense justifies the selection with him. And I think he's going to go, like, top 8 for sure. So he will go around there somewhere.
All right. So what is your top 5 then? So do you have Ball number 1?
Yeah, I have Ball number 1. Then I have a gap, and I have 4 guys in tier 2. Topping that we talk about, Avdija that we talk about as well, number 3, and Edwards number 4. Just Like, I don't love him, but I like him. And then a guy that we haven't talked about that I think we should brought up a little bit, Alexei Pokusevsky, the Serbian guy that looks like a Star Wars droid. He very much does look like a Star Wars droid. Like, he's a battle droid, to be fair. Like, I've been told from people in Serbia that I've been talking about with about his development, because he was working out in the gym. Like, he's kind of up to like 215 pounds, and he's around 7'2" in shoes. He's 7'7" and a half, like 7'0" and a half barefoot. So he's a really, really tall guy with the skill set of a guard. Like, he gets really long, his dribble, he can really shoot on almost every situation. I think the thing with him is more about like character and like how badly does he want to be the guy or the star. I think he's going to get drafted somewhere in the teens, maybe early 20s. There is this rumor that OKC has made a promise to him in the, I think they have the 25th selection. So, mm-hmm. like, he's going to go somewhere in the first round. He's coming right away to the NBA. Like, he's not staying in Europe. I know that for a fact. And I think the upside is
okay, like, sorry. I just got a picture of him up. Wow. Yeah, yeah, you're right. He does look like a Star Wars battle droid.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He moves like one also. A bit more. I mean, he gets low more. He is like, no, that's unfair. Like, he's not that stiff. But, like, upper body, he's a bit stiff. He gets really low naturally because – like most guys that are 7'2" have like, I feel like they have like longer legs than this guy. Like, he has like a really, really long upper body and a really long neck, but like he kind of can get low to the ground easier than you will think. And I think the upside is there just because of the skill set. Like, he also, like, you will love that, like, he gets a lot of steals and blocks. Like, he's an advanced stats darling in that case, in that regard as well. So just in general, I think the upside is there with him. And then after that, I have another gap, and I have like we talk about Killian Hayes, we have Wiseman, Okoro, Conway, etc. So that's kind of the guys for me. But I think Pokusevski is an underrated guy. Like, I think there is there.
It's worth having a look at him.
The risk constantly.
Yeah. And hey, with, you know, you get some more money, you know,
yeah, for sure.
You get a stylist, 100%. And, get somebody to make you...
Trust me, I saw the picture, Dave.
He looks like a Spud Boy from Trainspotting.
You have to build like a body out or something, like, but you know,
he has some flow. Like, he got some pictures like with when he was going to the States or like whatever in the airport. Like, he had a funny pack, and like he was like okay. I mean, he looked like up to speed, I think, like to NBA fashion.
I think part of it is the jersey. Yeah.
So I think it's so bad.
Is there like the candy cane jersey makes him look really awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then also he has a jersey where it's just the Star Wars droid. So it's like, well, I don't know what team that is, but it's like, come on, like, change it up a bit.
Yeah, I mean, he plays for Olympiakos in Greece, but he's from Serbia. Yeah.
What other players we're missing? Are there kind of like sleepers that we're missing?
I think there are a couple guys that I like that we haven't talked about. One of them is Patrick Williams, who plays with Devin Vassell in Florida State. A freshman, he has like this weird white patch with his hair. Like,
I love that. Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah, kind of.
Rasheed Wallace.
You can Google him up. It's Patrick Williams, Florida State. He has like on the front of his head. And he's like a really good combo forward. Like, I think he's going to be good. The only thing with him is like he has this weird quad imbalance. Like, his upper legs are so weird. Like, they are super strong. Like, he seems like he, instead of not missing leg day, he overdid leg day or whatever. Like, he's built really weird. Like, he's a bit stiff, but like he has a really sweet jumper. He's like 6'8", 6'9", smart, plays good on defense. Like, he's not super athletic, but like he moves well. I think he's going to be a good... Like we talked about before with Okoro and with that Vassell and stuff like that. Like, he's going to be a good rotation player at a position of really high demand nowadays in the league. So I like him a lot. And I like Grant Riller also, who is from Charleston, a small school, not that strong for conference. But, like, he plays a lot, I would say, like Derrick Rose plays today. Like, after injuries, Derrick Rose, like, he has, like, these weird, freaky finishes around the rim, scoop layups and stuff like that. He gets to the rim at will in his conference. People compare him to Fred VanVleet because they look alike. You can Google him, Grant Riller. They look alike with the beard and everything, and in general the look. But like, he doesn't play like Riller, like VanVleet at all. It's more of a looks comparison, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But that guy, I think he's gonna go in the second round or late first, probably early second. And I think he should go like mid first, something like that. Reminds me of, like, not the player, but the situation. Reminds me of Derek White, who I liked in the lotto back in his draft, and he ended up going late first to the Spurs. And I think Riller is not that type of player, but like the situation or the stock with him is kind of similar.
What about the Stanford guy
Tyron Terry.
Hearing?
Yeah. I like him. Like, honestly, I don't have him that low. I will be fine with him going like top 20. I don't see the upside with him for going higher than that. Like, he's a really smart player and he's a really good shooter. Like, probably, I mean, top five shooter in this draft for sure. And he's a freshman, so that's good in terms of like upside still. It's more of a tools thing with him. Like, he can really dribble forward. Like, he's more of a east-west guy than a guy that I can actually put pressure on the defense. Like, he's not, people like the whole Trae Young thing. Like, he's nowhere near the athlete or as shifty as Trae is. He's more like, to me, he reminds me of Seth Curry. Like, I think he could be that type of player. Like, maybe a bit more of a real point guard than Seth Curry is, a bit more heavy as a player, although Seth has developed under Rick Carlisle and he can actually run an offense more or less okay. But that type of guy, like a really good shooter, competitive on defense because he's smart and he cares. And just a good rotation guard. I don't see the upside with him to be like a star or like go top 10 like some people have him or stuff like that. It's more, the shooting is outstanding for sure, but I don't see the tools to like, I think he has a really, like, not a great handle to be a point guard. Honestly. Like, he's more of a secondary handler to me than a point guard.
John asked us to ask you.
Yes.
How do you feel about Maxi and Bane for the Sixers?
Ooh.
I don't think Maxi. He's not still going to be there for the Sixers.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I like Maxi a lot. I have Maxi top 10 or like 10, 12 or whatever also. I mean, he's still like the feel again, like he's more of a combo guard than a point guard, but like I think he has a strong defensive chops. Like, he plays really physical on defense. Like, he's cut from the same cloth as guys like Kyle Lowry, Fred Van Vliet, stuff like that. Like, he's that type of like bully guard that is strong and will play to his strength.
Gotcha.
And I think on offense, yeah, he's not going to be a guy that will run an offense, but I think he's going to be a good scorer, and I think the shooting is going to be good as well. I would love him for the Sixers. I don't think he's going to be there unless you trade up. And Desmond Bane, I'm going to come through as a Star Wars nerd, which I don't even like Star Wars, but I know from my friends, like, apparently the first Sith Lord or whatever was called Des Bane or something like that, which is another Star Wars reference from this draft. But like Desmond Bane, I like him a lot as well. Like, I will have him top 20-ish or top 22. I think he will probably be there for Philadelphia's pick, and I would be fine taking him. Like, again, a guy that can do a little bit of everything on the perimeter. Like, he's a really good off-the-dribble shooter, off-ball as well, smart as heck, super strong. He's not long, but like, he's built like a tank. Like, you can find him online. Like, he looks like a linebacker. Like, he's really, really well built. And like, he will be a good rotation wing for almost any player, like playing three positions on the perimeter. He can run a little bit of offense. He can play off the ball. Like, I think he would be a fantastic pick for Philadelphia. And I think they might be able to take him if they don't do the damn thing they did last year with the trading up or like playing. Like, they always leak their fucking selections. I don't know why. Like, everybody knows which player Philadelphia wants and they have to trade up for them. So stupid. And they have like two early second round picks this year. I think Bane could be there if they don't do the stupid thing and actually either sell a pick for money or trade up with the pick. And they could be getting like multiple solid guys, I think. Like, I mean, I think this year, I think it was another guy that they leaked that they like. I'm not really sure. No, it's in the second round. It's not as popular. But like last year with Thybulle, everybody knew they wanted Thybulle. So they like Boston forced their hand again. So it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, there's some elite GMing going on in Philadelphia. Yeah.
Well, hopefully now.
In the past, I was being sarcastic. In the future,
All right, that's enough Sixers talk since John's not here.
But the Sixers aren't going to sell any picks. Like, they're in good financial situation. They're only going to owe $45 million in luxury tax this year. So I think
Did you sign Morey to a $10 million?
$60 million dollars.
Elton Brand got extended as well. So like, it's just
they got
fantastic
money.
I think Doc Rivers was the best, almost the best paid coach in the league. So he's gonna make. Yeah, all over there as well. So
I guess they do. They just got money to burn.
Yep.
Okay. So my top five after hearing all this, I'm gonna go number one, Haliburton, as we know. Number two, I like Killian Hayes. I like what I hear about him. Number three, I like everything you said about Obi Toppin. So I'll go three, Obi Toppin. Number four, this is just for Dave. We'll go with Denny.
Okay.
And number five, I'll go the droid that you talked about. Pajewski, is that his name?
Strong. Pokusevski.
Yeah. Pokusevski.
Yeah, most people call him Poku. Poku is easy. Okay. Yeah, Poku, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Poku means me in Japanese. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, fair. Yeah.
Oh, great. Matt, did you live in Japan? I forget.
I did. I lived in, not only did I live in Japan, but I lived in Spain, where Javier has also lived and is from. So
I live in Japan and Barcelona as well. So we can
there we go. No. Same.
Oh no.
Same.
Oh, that, save it for another pod, I guess.
Same. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll revisit it. We'll revisit it this next year to see how we did. I think this draft's going to be like pretty bad. So I think
we'll see.
I'm pretty secure in my surefire picks with Halliburton and Hayes. So I think are pretty and Toppin, who I think are all about as sure thing as you can get in this draft.
And you like Okongwu as well. It's just so flat. It's a really flat draft. Yeah. Like I will bet against trading up. Like, just don't trade up. Use your picks wherever you like. Don't burn assets trading up unless you really like a guy that you think is falling and you want to bet on him. Like this, like for example, Pokuševski. Like, if he's falling and I have him number five, sure, yeah, fine. But like outside of that, like, don't make a trade up with this draft. Like, it's just so flat.
Yeah.
I mean, I had Okongwu would have been like my three or four, but I had to have Denny there for Dave, and I have to have Pokuševski or Boku because your endorsement. So
I'm
consensus. Consensus building.
I'm getting a Denny jersey. We're trying
to bring everybody together over here.
I want Denny. I'm getting a Denny jersey as long as he doesn't go to like the Cavs. I can't possibly like fucking.
Cavs jersey looks. Cavs jerseys look nice, Dave. Come on.
A Bulls jersey. Yeah.
But
a Bulls would be nice.
I guess I couldn't wear Warriors, just although I love the logo, but you just look like such a hack now, like a poser if you wear a Warriors jersey. So
you could get the throwback Charlotte one. That'd
maybe
be nice.
Oh, I'll get the a Bulls custom jersey. if he goes number one, which he won't. I'll get a custom one that says Wolves.
With the way I pronounce He ain't gonna go number one with the Wolves. No way. Come on now. Come on. All right. Anything else, Javier?
I think we're good. We went over. I mean, I have more guys for days, but I think it's not worth your time, guys. Like, it's not like this class is strong enough for that. So I think we went over all the possible. I mean, if we miss a star, it's going to be so fucked up. I don't think we will. So it's good.
No. Yeah. All right. Do you want to do shout outs and beefs? I don't have any shout outs and beefs. So if you have any shout outs and beefs, you could feel free to put them here. Dave, you have any shout outs and beefs?
Just shout out to Mike Vorkunov, the Athletic Knicks beat writer, had a fantastic piece on Leon Rose. So I would read that even if you're not a Knicks fan, if you have the Athletic, because it is behind the paywall. Because I mean, come on, Mike.
Everything's behind the paywall. ESPN's putting everything behind the paywall now too. You got to pay for everything.
I've said this before on the pod. I pay for the Athletic for two people: him and Lindsay Adler, who is the Yankees beat writer for the Athletic. They are both fantastic. It's good for local stuff. But yeah, if you do have the Athletic, read the piece on Leon Rose. It was fantastic. Maybe like not want to kill myself.
Any shout outs and beefs, Javier?
I mean, I shouldn't do it, but I'm beefing with Ryan Russillo and Bill Simmons. Like they fucking like the whole almost a smear campaign over LaMelo Ball, who you just talked about before, like the whole like bullshit about like, I don't know, I think it's more like prejudices than anything. Yeah. Like they don't really know anything that they're talking about. Like it's just, especially after Russillo had to apologize for the whole disaster of a podcast that they did with the Black Lives Matter movement and stuff like that. Like they're senseless about all the time. Like it's just, I mean, Simmons had to quit Twitter for like 2 months almost just because of the whole issue with the unionizing in the ring around the whole like minorities and not enough women and stuff like that. It's just, and they continue like just all this dude type of talk. Like it's just, it gets me all the time. So I'm beefing with them for sure this week.
Oh, just because they were down on LaMelo, your guy?
It's not down. It's just like they are like talking out of this order as is like they know that the guy's a lazy bun or stuff. Like, just, they don't know anything about that. They are just presuming and they don't realize that their voices carry a lot of weight. So it's just, it's almost like, I mean, honestly, it's just almost like a smear camp. I don't think they know anything about the work ethic of the guy. They have no idea about that.
They were not in Lithuania with
that's
you.
Right.
They weren't on the ground.
I was there. Yeah.
He was working. I mean, he was running. He was running in the snow hills.
I think it's safe to classify that podcast at this point as sheer entertainment and not like actual analysis, you know.
I didn't like that podcast because Simmons' draft opinions were essentially my opinions. Like I was like, damn, this is exactly what I think. Like this guy, everyone's gonna think I stole from Simmons, but what he's voicing is exactly like he liked. I think he liked Halliburton a lot. But he was probably more down on Ball than I was. But I definitely don't. The reason I don't see it with Ball is just like he doesn't seem like we saw what happened to Lonzo in the pros, and it just seems like he's bad where Lonzo was good.
He's good where Lonzo is bad.
Right. Right.
Okay. All right. So yeah. He can finish yes. at the rim or like
yeah, big way, yeah, yeah, way better. I mean, not great, but like way better than Lonzo. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Okay.
I think the only. It's just. I will get it if you think he's gonna be like, I don't know, like just inefficient, sure, like whatever. But like I don't get the whole thing about like his character or his persona. I think there's just prejudices which I try to stay away from. And just really quick, I'm beefing with the Swedish government. Like just recommend the use of masks, please. Like nobody uses masks.
Oh, that is weird. That is weird that they don't do the masks.
Nobody uses masks here. Now
I read that and I was like, that seems weird.
Damn,
that
it's like a whole country that is like Matt's hometown.
Hey, Huntington Beach. I've been out in Huntington Beach. People wear masks okay. here. Come on, not everybody. Nothing. Not
a couple
everywhere.
Of Billabong masks. No,
nobody
here.
Nobody here.
Yeah, a couple
nobody
of Billabong
here. Yeah,
Billabong, Volcom. Yeah, yeah. I read that about Sweden. I was a little surprised. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for coming
thank
on.
You,
thank you for having me, man.
Yeah. Until next week. Keep hooping.